Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah Daf Lamed Hey. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem is Baruch on Daf Lamed Dalet Amid Beis towards the bottom of the Amid, where the Mishnah begins. Be'ezer Hashem is Baruch speaking about the different disqualifications when we speak about an Esrig. There are a number of halachas when we speak about the Esrig. The Torah Akdosha says, "V'lekach talchem b'yom harishon pre eitz hadar." So from the word v'lakachtem, we learn v'lakach to tam, shetehei l'kicha tama. That means from here we learn that if the esrig is missing any part of the esrig, so it's no longer a l'kicha tama, it's no longer a whole esrig, and therefore it's posel. Even though many Rishonim say that this has nothing to do because of Chador, it's a separate Isser that an Esrig has to be Bishlemus. Lachem, as we've learned so many times, we learn from the Lachem that the Esrig has to belong to you, and therefore the Halach is that the Esrig is Gozel or Shol, if the Esrig is stolen or even borrowed, but it's not does not belong to the person who's using the Esrig, the Halach is that that Esrig is esrig is posel. Hadar, as we said, the pasuk says pre-eitz hadar. From here we learn that the esrig has to be an esrig which is hadar. Moreover, the Ritva says that even though by other minim, if one cannot find an esrig, one of the other minim, a lulav or hadassim aravis that are not hadar, the loch is you could take the min b'shasatchak, even though it's not hadar, by an esrig, you have to be more careful. Since the Torah recites explicitly that the esrig has to be hadar, if the esrig is not hadar, it may be that the esrig is posel and nothing can make it kosher. And another halacha when we speak about esrig is that it has to be nigma period. That it means it has to be a ripened fruit. Tosfos Divrei Maskil Be'inon Daf Chavtes Amud Beis learns that, as we've mentioned in previous shurim, when we speak about disqualifications of an esrig, there's a difference between the first day of Sukkot and the other days of Sukkot. Since on the first day of Sukkot there's a chiyum midaraisa to take dal minim, and the other days of Yom Tov the chiyuv is not a chiyuv deraisa, therefore the dinim of the first day are different than the other days. So, for example, we started the shiur by speaking about the psul, the disqualification of chaser. The esrig that's chaser is only posel on the other days of Yontif. But on the first day of Yontif, it's not an issue. The din of lechem, that we said that the esrig has to belong to the person who's using it, also is only on the first day Yontif, not on the other days Yontif. On the other hand, the din of hadar is applicable on all days of Yontif. The Torah, as we just said, says that pre-eitz hadar, that the Torah indicates that the esrog has to be a hadar, and since the esrog has to be a hadar, it's also only on the other days, it's possible on the other days of Yontif. As we also begin to discuss the halacha of an esrog, it's important to speak about the esrog hamurkav. The Torah Akdosha, the Paiskim, going back to the Rishonim already, discuss an esrog hamurkav, which is an esrog, which is a grafted esrog. The esrog tree and the esrog fruit is not a very strong fruit, and it could get easily damaged. And the farmers have determined that the way to strengthen an esrog is by grafting onto the esrog tree a branch of a lemon tree, and therefore the lemon is a stronger tree. And the question is, that is such an esrig a kosher esrig or not? There are many reasons why it should be possible. One is that the lemon tree doesn't become bottle, therefore you don't have only an esrig, you have a lemon. Moreover, even if the the lemon branch, the branch of the tree, the lemon tree, is just one branch, it still contributes to the growth of the esrog. And the Torah says that we should use an esrog, not something which is just a partial esrog. Another pshat, that if the esrog, another concern, is if the Al-Sheikh makes this point, is if the esrog is a small esrog, we're going to learn, we have learned, and we're going to learn that an esrog has a shear. So if the esrog is just as big as the shear, and part of the esrog is comprised of the lemon, so now what we're going to end up having is that you don't have the proper shear of an esrog because you have a combination of the esrog and the lemon takes away from the shear. Another concern that the Al-Sheikh mentions is, as we just learned in our introductory remarks, that an esrog which is chaser is pasul. If we're going to take the lemon part out of this esrog, you don't have a whole esrog. It's missing the part where the lemon takes up, and it would be an esrog chaser. Another consideration is that the Torah tells us to take four minim. And in the Gemara, we've learned more than one time that if you take five minim, if you take an extra min, the Gemara discussed, we'll discuss it again in Mitzvah Shem, that if you have a situation where you're just binding the esrog together with one of the other minim, that lulav with one of the other minim, if we hold lulav tzarech eged, if we hold that the lulav has to be bound together, we have a concern about toisif. So certainly over here, if the lemon is included, there's a concern about toisif. And another consideration is that the halacha, the Torah, tells us that klaim is aser. And we're not allowed to mix different types of species of fruits or vegetables together. And even though the halacha is that we're allowed to eat a fruit or a vegetable that is a result of klaim, it's still an avera to make klaim. So go to take something which is made through an avera and use it for the mitzvah of dalaminim is inappropriate. There are paiskim that disagree, and they say that as long as it looks like an esrog, it is an esrog. And even though there were other contributing factors that made the esrog into an esrog, the lemon, it doesn't make a difference. The halacha is that it's an esrog. And even this last consideration that we just mentioned, that there was an aveira done, the aveira of klaim was done in making this esrog, this esrog is not going to be used as a carbon. If it was going to be used for a carbon, we would have to be more concerned. But it's not being used for a carbon, we could be more lenient. The Mishnah Berura in Siman Tif Reish Mem Ches, Sifkotin Samchei, says that we should be machmer not to use an esrog Hamurkov. The Mishnah Berura actually over there mentions that there are a number of ways of being able to tell if an esrog is an esrog, pure esrog, or if it's a murkov. One is that the bottom of the esrog, there's an ukitz, we'll speak about it in the Mishnah. And in a kosher esrog, the ukitz is shakua. It's like an indentation in the esrog. By a murkov, you wouldn't have that. A murkov has a flat skin, doesn't have the bumps. Esrog has bumps on its skin. And a murkav, the white shell around esrog, we'll speak about that also in our shear. In a murkav, it's thinner. In an esrog, it's thicker. And a nesimin is by esrog hamurkav, the seeds lay flat. And an esrog she'en hamurkav, they stand up. Of course, the Paiskim Chassam Sofer already says that we don't just rely on the simonim. And if we'll have an esrog that we don't have any mesayir, we don't have any chazaka, that it's a kosher esrog, and we'll want to just rely on these simonim, we ought not to rely on that. The Mishnah Berura says the other way around, that if we know for sure that the esrog is a comes from a field that we have a chazaka, is a kosher esrog, even though this esrog doesn't have the simonim of a kosher esrog, it doesn't make a difference. If we have the chazaka that it's a kosher esrog, it's a kosher esrog. I saw that there were poskim that wanted to suggest that we should maybe do a DNA test on an esrog and see if doing through such a lab test, we'll see if the esrog has in it lemon, we should know right away that we may not use such an esrog. So I saw that the poskim say that even though the esrog could be a pure esrog, because of different environmental situation, that it may look like it may have different genetic material similar to a lemon, and we can't rely on that. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal discusses that if we did not graft a lemon branch into our esrog tree, but rather we took a lemon or wood from a lemon tree and we just sprinkle it on top of the esrog tree, and that the esrogim should absorb some of that material to make the esrog grow better. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said that's not called a merkav, and that would be kosher to use such an esrog. So it teaches us the mystery esrog agavis, a stolen esrog yavish, or esrog that's dried out. Both of them are possible. Shalashera, an esrog of an asherah tree, v'shalira nidachas, possible. Interesting to point out that the Rishonim say we've been learning about Ir and Nidachas. When we spoke about every one of the Dalaminim, we spoke about something that comes from Ir and Nidachas that we learned, and we'll learn again, Mitzvah Shem, in the explanation of this Mishnah, Ketuse Mechtashure, and such an esrog is possible. Say the Rishonim, that's only if the esrog was already detached from the tree when the city became Ir and Nidachas. But anything that's attached to the tree when the city is proclaimed to be in the dachas does not become osur, and such an esrog therefore would not be possible. Shal arla, the esrog of a tree which is arla, the tree is not yet 3 years old from when it was grown, is possible. Shal truma tameya, if you took esrog which is truma tameya, it's possible. Everything will be explained in the Gemara. Shal truma tahira, but if the esrog is truma tahira, la yitel, lechatchila, one should not use such an esrog. Vim natal, but if you did use such an esrog, kosher. Shal demai, we know that they made a gzeira, that when one buys produce from an akum, not from an amoritz, he should be concerned if they didn't take off proper maisris, and you have to take off your own maisris first. If the esrog that you bought is demai, the halacha is Beishamai Paislim. Beishamai says such an esrog should not be used. Beisel Machshirim. And again, this will be explained in the Gemara. Shamaisa Sheni Berushalayim. We know that in the first and the second, fourth and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, we're supposed to take Maisa Sheni. And the halacha is that the Maisa Sheni is supposed to be taken up to Yerushalayim and eaten in Yerushalayim, or maybe redeemed outside of Yerushalayim, and the money has to be the money that you got for redeeming it has to be taken to Yerushalayim, and you could buy with Yerushalayim food that you will eat in Yerushalayim. So if you have Maisa Sheni B'Yerushalayim, Lo Yitol, L'chatchila, one should not use such an esrog, Vim Noto, kosher. But if you did use it, this is kosher. And the reason is because Rashi explains that Maisa Sheni may be eaten in Yerushalayim. So when is there a problem if I have an esrog that I may not eat? This is an esrog that I may eat. So says Rashi, if that's the case, only in Yerushalayim would I be allowed to use such an esrog. Because as we just said, in Yerushalayim, you're allowed to eat Maisa Sheni. But if you're outside of Yerushalayim, where you have no right to eat Maisa Sheni, you are not allowed to use such an esrog. Other Rishonim say that that's not true. That even Chutz Yerushalayim, the Ran explains, you would not be able to use such an esrog. And explains the Ran, since we just said that even outside Yerushalayim, there is a way to eat this produce by redeeming it, and you'll take the money to Yerushalayim, and then you can eat the produce outside Yerushalayim. So therefore, the halach is you could eat it outside Yerushalayim. Also, chazazos, if there are boils on your esrog, al-rubai, if most of the esrog is covered with these boils, the halacha is that the esrog is possible. Nitma pitmasoi, the top of an esrog has the pitim, the stem that's sticking up, and on top of the pitim, there is a shashanta, a a flat piece, if either of those, the pitim or the shashanta, are missing from your esrig, the esrig is posel. Niklaf. So there are many layers to your esrig. That there's one very narrow layer that looks like a shiny layer. That's the outer china. And then you have a white layer, which is quite thick. And then you have another thin layer where the seeds of the esrig lay. That's called the chayre hazera. That's where the esrig, where the seeds lie. And the Mishnah is talking about that the outside shiny layer of the esrig was, part of it was removed. So says the Mishnah, Niklav, if that esrig was peeled off, or Nizdak, if there's a split in the esrig across the entire esrig from top to bottom, or Nikav, if there's an esrig that has a hole, and the hole is Chosuk Koshuhu, so there are two, most Rishonim, Rashi explains that these are two separate Isurim, two separate issues. One is Nikav, it has a hole that goes all the way through, and if there's a hole that penetrates all the way through, even though none of the esrig, none of the meat of the esrig is missing, but just because it has a hole that penetrates through, and chosu koshu is another issue that's missing part of the esrig. All of these cases, the esrig is posel. An esrig shalso by chazazes is posel because it's not hodor. The question is, what will be the halacha if you have an esrig that has a chazazes and it's not the first day of yontif? So now the question is, why is a chazazes a problem? If we'll say the chazazes is a problem because it's not hodor, so as we said at the beginning of our shir, any esrig which is not hodor may not be used for the entire duration of yontif. But if the issue of a chazazes is that it's a chaser is only an issue on the first day yontif, and not the other day of yontif. So the Prima Gadim says that if you have such an esrig, obviously it's the only esrig that is available to you, says the Prima Gadim, you would be allowed to use such an esrig. And the Prima Gadim explains because it's a svek sveka. First of all, we're not sure what is the disqualification. Is the disqualification because it's chaser, which is only an issue on the first day of yontif, or is the issue hador, which is the rest of yontif, possibly disqualification? But as we also said, there are those that are of the opinion that even the issue of hador is only an issue on the first day of yontif, not an issue for the entire yontif. So if it's not an issue for the entire yontif, then the halacha would be that it could use it. An esrig that's missing the pitim, the issue is because it's chaser. And therefore, even though it's just chaser, a small amount, the pitim, since it's an important part, the pitim is a very noticeable part of the esrig, therefore the halacha is that the pitim is missing, the halacha is that it's the esrig is posel. And again, since the issue is a chaser, chaser is only issue on the first day. So if you have an esrig that came with a pitim, and the pitim fell off, it would only be a problem on the first day yontif, not on the rest of yontif. Esrig that's niklav, the Rishonim say that the issue of niklav, the Ritva says it's hador, but the Shulchan Aruch Rav says that the issue is chaser. And as we just learned, it will be a very big nafkamina. If it's chaser, it's only a problem on the first day. If it's hador, it's a problem the entire yontif. Esrig that's nikav chaser, there's a new issue. As we said at the beginning of the shir, because it's lax in lakicha tama, and therefore may be possible for the entire yontif. Nitel aksoi, but if also chazazah, says the Mishnah, amiyutai, just part, a small part of the esrig, and we'll explain what that means when we learn the Gemara, these boils formed on. Nitel aksoi, if the piece on the bottom is missing. Nikif, v'loi chasu kashu, if there's a hole but doesn't go all the way through, kashu. Esrig koshi, esrig which is a black esrig. Others say that it doesn't. The Rimiri says it doesn't necessarily have to be black as long as it's not the normal color of an esrig. Posel, esrig yarkakarsi, an esrig which is green, Rameyah Machshir, we had this discussion in the previous year. Rameyah holds it's kosher. Rehuda Paisel. And as we quoted Taisus, the Taisus says that as soon as we see that the esrog is starting to turn yellow, then we could start using that esrog because we see that's going to become yellow. The issue is when it's not yellow, it's not nigmar peri. But once we see that starting to turn yellow, it's clearly indication if it's that looks like that's going to be an esrog. And we discussed, some say that it's a preferable to use such an esrog, the apia zoyer, the esrog should have some green in it, and some say that esrog should preferably be all yellow. Shear esrog cotton. What is the shear of the smallest esrog? Ramei oimer ke'ego is the size of a walnut. Reviewda oimer ke'beya, the size of a beya. Or begodl, what is the maximum shear of an esrog? Kadesh yoicha shnayim, that you should be able to hold two esrogim of that size biyodai in one hand. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. There are a number of reasons that the Rishonim explain why, if it's bigger, is it a problem. Some say if it's too big, it's not hadar. Or the concern is that if the esrog is too big, you're going to end up holding the esrog in your right hand and the lulav in your left hand. And as we learned and will learn in Mitzvah Shem, the halacha is that the esrog is supposed to be in the left hand and the lulav in the right hand. Rabbi Yosef says, even if the esrog is so large, that afilu echabish deyodav, it's so large that you have to hold, that you need two hands to hold the esrog is kosher. I asked the Ritva, if you need two hands to hold the esrog, how will you be able to hold the other minim? So Ritva goes back to something that we discussed in the previous year, that b'dieved, you could be yoytz to the mitzvah dal minim if you don't hold all four minim at the same time. The Ramah says as long as the four minim are in front of you, even if you take each one separately, you yoytz to the mitzvah, and that's the way you would perform the mitzvah with an esrog that is so large that you need two hands to hold it. Says the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan, the Torah says, pre-eitz hadar, to teach us, eitz shetam eitzoy per yeshava. What is the type of an esrog? What's the esrog? The esrog is an eitz that is a fruit of a tree that the fruit and the tree are the same. What fruit is that? Have a oimaz esrog. And as we've mentioned a number of times in our shiurim, the Rishonim speak about, obviously, for the entire history of Klal Yisrael, we were using esrogim, what we know as an esrog. So what's the Gemara asking? Where do we know what it means an esrog? So the Rishonim explain that, of course, what's supposed to be used for an esrog is what we know as an esrog. They're trying to see if the Torah alludes that that should be the fruit. The Malbim, however, I saw, has a whole different approach. He says, as we often find in Shas, the tzedakim didn't believe in any Messiah. They needed everything to be Torah Shebiksav. And they started questioning how we use what we know as an esrog for an esrog. Until, for the Pre-Eitz Hadar, until they were able to prove from the psukim, from a drasha, that that is what the esrog is about. And esrog, therefore, since it has the same taste as the tree that it comes from, the halacha is that that's what the Torah says that it should be used. A lemon, I saw, is different. That the lemon, the juice in the lemon tastes like the tree, but not the actual fruit. And I saw why is Tam Eitzoy Piriyah Shavai so important. So the Torah, because in Parshas Bereishis we learned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the trees to produce fruit that tastes like the tree. And the tree didn't listen. And the fruit, as you know, doesn't taste like the tree. The esrog is the one fruit that followed the directive that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave. And since the esrog followed the directive that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, it is most appropriate that it should be used for the dal minim. Another pshat that I saw is that the Malbim suggests that in all other fruits, the way it goes is that the nourishment of the fruit comes from the ground and it just travels through the tree. Whereas by esrog, the nourishment of the esrog comes from the tree. And that's what the Torah meant when it said, pre-eitz hadar. The Mir Emes says that, a beautiful vart, Why do we look for esrig that tam etzo yupiria shava? Because he says that etz is the father, the parents of the esrig, and the esrig is the fruit, the child. When we have a situation that children are following what their parents said, that's what the Torah says is what we should take as a pre-etz hadar. When children and parents are going on the same path. Ask the Gemara, ve'ema pilplin, maybe it should mean a peppercorn, that the fruit, the pepper and the tree taste the same. Ketanya remeya oimer. Mashma shenemer, we mentioned in the Mishnah, the din of Orla. And the Torah says, ve'netatem kol etz machav aratem alosoi. The fruit that grows from a tree has a din of Orla. Whatever grows for the first 3 years may not be eaten. So the pasuk says, the Torah speaks about kol etz machal. The question is, any day she etz machal, that it produces fruit. What does the Torah mean with those words? To teach us, it's coming to teach us that Orla applies by something that grows that has the same taste as the from what it grows. Have oimer zel pilpulin, that it's talking about pepper. Lalam dechasha pilpulin chayovim ba'orla, that the pilpulin are chayiv ba'orla. Why would we think that pilpulin are not chayiv ba'orla? So Rishonim give two reasons. One reason is that the tree from which the pilpulin grow is very low, and therefore we would think it's not a tree, it's a bush. And it's a vegetable. That's why the Torah has to tell us, no, it ought to be treated like a tree. Another pshat is that pepper is only eaten when it's dried out. So it's not really eaten like a fruit that's normally eaten when it's fresh. That's why we learn that pilpulin is chayiv in Orla, because ein Eretz Yisrael chaser klum, because Eretz Yisrael is not missing anything. Everything grows in Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar leisach sekoba. And so maybe ask the Gemara that what we learn from here is that the pilpulin is what should be used for the pre-etz hadar. Answers the Gemara, hasam mishum delay efshar. It's impossible. Hechi neved, because exactly what would you suggest? Ninket chadar, if you're only going to take one, leminkar ili kachasai, if you're only going to take one pepper, so then nobody could see that you're using an esrig. And the Chasam Sofer explains that the Torah uses the words v'lekachtem regarding the mitzvah of dalaminim, shetehei likichosoi nikeres, that you should be able to see that you're doing the mitzvah. I saw another pshat that the Kappos Tamarim explains. He says, the Medrash says that the Torah says v'lekachtelchem b'yoyim arishon, that in the first day we take the dalaminim. And the Medrash asked the obvious question that Sukkot is not the first day. Sukkot is the 15th day of the month. Rather, what it refers to is that on the first day of Cheshbon Avonis, we went through Rosh Hashanah and the Seder Yemei Tshuva and Yom Kippur, and we don't know who prevailed. When Klal Yisrael come out holding their Esrogim, the Dalaminim, that's the proof that we prevailed. But it's only a proof if it's noticeable. If the esrig is a small peppercorn, it would never be noticeable. On the other hand, so maybe what you'll say, is ninka treya tlosa, take two or three peppercorns, and that's how you'll do the mitzvah of dalaminim. Says the Gemara, that isn't an option. Because pre-echer amrachman, the Torah says one esrig, the Lord shnayim v'shloshu peiris, not two or three peiris. And therefore, since that isn't an option, the halacha is that it can't be the peppercorn. So I saw, based on this Gemara, the Karen Oyer discusses a shaila, that let's say somebody has two esrogim, and he knows one is a kosher esrog and one is not a kosher esrog, but he doesn't know which one is which. So what he'll do is, when he takes the dalaminim, he'll take both of these esrogim, not knowing which one is the kosher one and which one is not the kosher one, and he'll hold them both. And Mimarashach, he will have done the mitzvah. Is that an option? Says the current Ira, based on the Gemara that we're learning now, that the Torah says that when we take the esrog, we're supposed to take only one fruit. And if the way you're going to fulfill the mitzvah is by taking two fruits at the same time, so you're not doing what the Torah says is the way to fulfill the mitzvah, and therefore that isn't an option. Rabbi Omer, Atikri Hador, don't say the way that we know that it's an esrog, because don't pronounce the word hadar el hadir. It has to be like a corral where we have animals. You have all sorts of animals, old and young, tamim and balim mumim. Hachnami yesh begdolim v'ktamim. The esrog has also these characteristics. There are larger esrogim, there are smaller esrogim, there are tamimim or balimimim. Ask the Gemara, but if that's what we're looking for, otashar peris lesbu gedolim v'ktanim tamimim balimimim. All fruits have all types of fruit. Alach kamar. Ad shaboyim k'tanim, a dying gedolim k'yamim ba. The way we see with the esrog is that the esrog stays on the tree for many years. So when you still have the old esrogim, the old fruit on the tree, the new fruit is already developing. Rav Avuah learns similarly. Al tikri hador el hador. Dovah shadar milonim mishana l'shana. A fruit that's there for many years. And I saw from the Sefer Yisa Bracha, what makes the fact that the fruit is there for so many years so special? He says, a fruit that was there for many years experienced different situations. What is considered choshev? What is considered significant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Something and someone who experienced many different situations in life. And that's why he explains we're supposed to show respect for an elderly person. Because an elderly person had so many different experiences. The esrog, who's there for so many years and had all of these different experiences, that's why the esrog is the proper fruit to be used for the dalaminim. But as I'm al tikri hador eli idur, the way to pronounce it is idur. Shekem b'loshin yivanu karim lamayim, in Greek they called water idur. Ezug shigodla kolmayim, which fruit tree grows not from the rain? You could just water it and you'll have the fruit. Have oimaz esrog. So since the Torah says pre-eitz hador, and it means that you're watering it, that is a proof that that's what should be used for. That is a proof that that's what should be used for the esrog tree. Shel sheira v'shel in idachas. We learned an esrog from a sheira in an ear in idachas. The halacha is it's posel. My tama. So as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, kivin delasreifakoi. This fruit is supposed. Since it's from the asher of sinin edachas, it's supposed to be burnt. So ketusim echtashuri. The halacha is that it doesn't have an existence. And as we explained earlier, not only according to Rav Shimon, whose opinion is that dava oimel lisarif, that something that's supposed to be burnt, the halacha looks at it kesarif dami as if it is already burnt. But even according to the opinions that don't hold that way, but when something needs a shear, if it's not supposed to continue being in existence, it doesn't have a shear. We learned, shel orla, the esrog that's from orla is posel. My tama, why is such an esrog posel? Says the Gemara, pligibar of chibar oven rev asi. Charamel fishein boheta achila. You're not allowed to eat and have a noah from the orla. And the Torah says, lechem, that it has to be something that's edible. The charama, the other one says, lefish ein bei demamin. The Torah says about the esrog, it has to be lochem, it has to belong to you. And if it's not allowed to be sold, you're not allowed to have enough from it, the halacha is it could not be used. It's interesting to point out, we mentioned in a previous shiur that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a food that in your day is simen kuf tazayin sifhei, that a food that's left under the bed may not be eaten. And the question that the poskim discuss, that if somebody had an esrog that was very valuable to him, and he bought his esrog and he brings it home and he wants to put it away in a safe place, so he puts it under the bed, and now he has a shaila if he's allowed to use that esrog. Because, as we just said, the halacha is that anything that's put under a bed, you're not allowed to eat. And it's not royal achila. And we just learned that if somebody, that an esrog which can't be eaten, is posel. So, the Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, in the Shaila, Sechuvus Ein Yitzchak, Oir Chaim Simen Chof Dalet, discusses the Shaila, and he says that a pidin, it's not osur. He says there's a sakana. When the Gemara speaks about osa achila, the Gemara means something which is prohibited from being eaten. This is not something that's prohibited. It's an issue of sakana. In other words, if we would know for sure that there's nothing dangerous about this esrog, we could be allowed to use it. And therefore, specifically because shayma mitzvah la yeda davara, the halach is that we could use such an esrog. The question that comes up is, let's say in the planting of the esrog, they use different chemicals to work with on the tree. So not a question that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach discusses, these chemicals are poison. So then the esrog doesn't have a techila. You can't eat the esrog when it has those chemicals on them. And why could you use such an esrog? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that since even though the fruit is sprayed with these different chemicals, but those chemicals don't remain there for long term, and since they don't remain there for a long time, then you could eat the fruit, and that's not considered something that you're not allowed to eat. So says the Gemara. Mat kusaka datach. So the Gemara gave two reasons why esrog of arla may not be used. One reason was because you're not allowed to eat such an esrog, and one is because it doesn't have any value. So says the Gemara, kusaka datach. Mat debayi het achila. The opinion that says that you have to be allowed to eat it, loy boy din mamon. He's not concerned about the fact that it has no value. Or man the boy the mamon, and the one that said that the issue is that it doesn't have any value, loy boy hat achila. Says the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to learn, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, shel truma tameya, if the esrog is truma tameya, such an esrog is possible. So points out the Gemara. Bishlamo leman damel fishem bayet achila. So aloch is shaper. You're not allowed to eat truma tameya under any circumstances. However, ask the Gemara, leman damel fishem bayet demamin, that the issue is that it doesn't have any value. Amai harem esika tachsot avshiloi. Even though the aloch is that one may not consume truma tameya, the aloch, however, is that you could have hanah from it. You could use it for fuel. So why would the esrog that's truma tameya be possible? Elo, says the Gemara, behet achila kolam aloi plig debinin. Everybody agrees, for an esrog to be a kosher esrog, it must be an esrog that can be edible. And therefore, since the esrog of truma tameya may not be eaten, it certainly can't be used as an esrog. Ki pligi, there's another question. Bedim mamon, does also have to have any value. Masova, the first opinion held, het achil binin, it has to be a kosher esrog, you have to be able to eat it. Din mamaloi binin, it doesn't have to have any value. Or masova, not only does it have to be edible, but din mamon nami binin, it also have to have value. Ask the Gemara, my benayu, so what is the practical nafkamina between these two opinions? Answers the Gemara, ikvenayim maisa sheni b'yushalayim aliv drameyim. According to Rameyah, we spoke at the beginning of our shir about Maisa Sheni that has to be brought to Yerushalayim. And the question is, the Maisa Sheni brought to Yerushalayim to be eaten in Yerushalayim, whose property is it considered? Is it considered the property of the person who brought it, or is it considered Mamon Gavoya? Rameyah holds that it's Mamon Gavoya. So according to Manda Amal Fishayim Bayat Echila, that the issue is, may you or may you not eat it, you're allowed to eat Maisa Sheni, Reyesh Be'et Achila. Certainly, Yerushalayim, you're allowed to eat Maisa Sheni. However, Laman Da'amal Afisha Ein Bei Demamin, it has to belong to you. Rameya's opinion is that Maisa Sheni, Mamin Gavayahu. So it doesn't belong to you, and therefore you would not be able to use an Esrog of Maisa Sheni. So we began this piece of Gemara by saying Rav Asi and the Chachamim, we don't know who holds what. So Gemara wants to bring a raya to stymie the Rav Asi d'amal fishayim by the mamon. Rav Asi is the opinion that holds that you have to have value in the esrog. D'amar Rav Asi, esrog shemaisa shen l'divr ha-meyo, ain adam yotze b'edi chavasa b'yontov, l'divr chavamim, that consider maisa sheni mamon b'aylim, the property of the owner, adam yotze b'edi chavasa b'yontov. So you see, the Rav Asi is concerned about ownership. So when we started this Gemara, and we had
a machlokes between Rav Chiya bar Avin and Rav Asi, one holds because heter achila, and one adds the issue of mamon, it's obvious that that is a consideration that Rav Asi expressed. Gufa amar Rav Asi, esrog shemais hasheni ledivra meya, the esrog shemais hasheni koin tremeya, ein odam yotze ba yidei chavasa biyontif. You can't use such an esrog on yontif. Ledivra chamim, but according to chamim, Adam Yotzbe Yidei Chavasa B'Yontif, you can use such an esrog. V'kei Matzah, a similar discussion regarding Matzah Ma'isa Sheni. L'divra Emeya Ein Adam Yotzbe Chavasa B'Pesach, you cannot use that Matzah, because the Matzah has to belong to you. L'divra Chamim, Adam Yotzbe Yidei Chavasa B'Pesach. Isa Shal Ma'isa Sheni, if you have, you made a dough out of the Ma'isa Sheni flour, do you have to take off challah? Says the Gemara, the divrei emei that's considered mamon gavoy, it's not yours, so it's patur min challah. The divrei chachamim that it's your dough, so of course, whenever you have a dough, you have to take off challah. Maskla, rapapa, bishlam isa, this halach that we said regarding the dough is very understandable. The ksiv, because when the Torah speaks about the obligation to take challah from the dough, the ksiv erase seichem. Esrog nami, the Torah says, but ask the Gemara, matzah, miksiv matzaschem, does the Torah ever say that the matzah has to belong to you? That now we're saying that according to Rameya, Ma'isa Sheni is considered mamon gavoya, it's not yours. Why would you not be able to be yotze the mitzvah? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Shmuel, v'teimer Rabbi Yemer b'shalmiya, asim lechem lechem. We learn gzeirah shava between matzah and challah. Ksiv hacha, regarding the matzah that we eat on Pesach, the Torah uses the words lechem oini. The ksiv hasam, the Torah says, v'hoye ba'achalchem melechem oretz, ma'alachem m'shalachem v'lo yisha ma'iser. It has to be belong to you and not for ma'iser. Afkan m'shalachem v'lo yisha ma'iser. It has to belong to you, not something that doesn't belong to you. And based on this, there's a very famous Sfas Emes, that the Sfas Emes says that if somebody is a guest in someone's home on Pesach, he should be careful to take a kinyan, to take ownership in the matzah that he's going to eat. Because we're learning now that the matzah must belong to you. But the Sfas Emes himself says that people aren't makban on this, because that it's self-understood that if I'm a guest in someone's home and my host is giving me matzah on Pesach, by the Seder, he's of course giving it to me in a way that I should be yoytze the mitzvah, and that it should be mine. Lema Masayle, so the Gemara wants to bring a raya to Rav Asi, that the dough of Ma'isa Sheni is not chay mechala, because it says in the Brisa, Ish shem Ma'isa Sheni p'tur menechala divra meya, v'chama oimrim chayevas mechala. So ask the Gemara, Lema Masayle seems to indicate, it seems that this is a raya. It doesn't seem that it's a raya. It's exactly saying what Rameya said. Says the Gemara, the way to understand is as follows. Ella, do we say, just like Bahopligi, just we find that Rameya and the Chum argue regarding taking challah from Ma'isa Sheni, Rameya says you don't have to, and the Chum you do have to. We'll say the same halacha will apply by esrog matzah. Or dil mashani isa, buy a dough where the Torah explicitly says arisisechem trei zimni twice. So there, that's why Rameya says the dough that comes from produce, which is ma'isa sheni, which is not arisisechem, you don't take challah from. But it could very well be that by an esrog and by matzah, even though it's ma'isa sheni and doesn't belong to you, but we don't find that the Torah is so exacting and so strict that it has to belong to you, and therefore maybe there the halacha would be that even though it's ma'isa sheni, you can reyoyt some mitzvahs matzah and mitzvahs esrog even according to Rameya. We learned shaltruma tameya psula. Why? As we explained earlier in our shir, the lespa heta achila, it's not something you may eat. Shaltruma tahira lo yitel. Says the Gemara, l'chadchili shouldn't take truma tahira. Says the Gemara, pligaba Rav Ami, Rav Asi, why not? Chanam amnesha machshira. When you put, we know that any fruit, the Torah says, only becomes susceptible to being tamei is when it becomes wet. And typically, the lulav and the aravos and the dasim are wet, And when you put the esrog right next to them, and here again we have a raya to what we discussed in our previous year, that when you take the dalminim, the esrog should be put right next to the lulav, so the wetness of the lulav will make the esrog wet, and now it will become roy to kabbalah's tuma. And the halacha is that you're not allowed to make truma tameh. You have to make sure that truma doesn't become tameh, and therefore we're concerned that you shouldn't do it, that we shouldn't let it become wet. So the Mefarshim asks that the halacha is that something, just because it becomes wet, is not mukshel kabel tumah. It's only mukshel kabel tumah if it becomes wet and you wanted it to become wet. I wasn't interested in this esrog becoming wet. So since I wasn't interested in this esrog becoming wet, so even though I put it next to the lulav, which is wet, why does it become mukshel kabel tumah? So the Mefarshim say a very important vart. That even though, in order for mukshel kabel tumah, you have to want it to be wet, if it's a situation where you know for sure that it's going to get wet, even though it's not necessarily what you want to happen, but if it's certain to happen, that's already enough to make it mukshel kabel tumah. Because when you hold the esrog all the time, the esrog becomes ruined. It's not so appetizing. And the Torah HaKadosha says that we have to want to protect the truma, and this is not the proper protection. Ask the Gemara, my benayu, what's going to be the nafkamina between these two explanations? Says the Gemara, Kigon shekarol Hashem, chutz miklipasa chitzoyna. You said that everything should be truma besides the outer layer of the esrog. Laman damam neshem echshira, that the concern is that it becomes mukhsh iksha, ikka. You still have that problem. Lamandam nem shmasida, you're not ruining the truma, because the outer layer is what gets ruined, but the outer layer is not truma. Vimnotal, but we learned in the Mishnah that if you took an esrog that's truma to ayur, it's kosher. Lamandam nem shayim baheta achila, that the issue is that esrog has to be edible. Hare yesh baheta achila. This esrog, you're allowed to eat. Truma tayir may be eaten by Kohanim. Lamandam alfish ain't by demamin. It has to have value. Hareish by demamin. Because, as we explained, the halacha is that everybody could use, that truma tayir has value. Because even if Yisrael has truma tayir, which of course he may not eat, the zechim misa b'day shemayim, if Yisrael eats truma, but he could sell it. If he could give it away, and he could sell the rights to it, or he could give it away and have toivus hanoah, and that's why it's considered it has value. We learned esrog shel demai, machlokes b'sham and b'silol. Ask the b'sham says it's not usable, b'silol says it is. Ask the gemara, my tamid b'silol. Says the gemara, as we explained, demai is fruit for which were purchased from the amaratzim, you have to take off trumas and maisis. Since the halacha is kivin the boy mafkalei l'chosei, if somebody will declare all of his assets ownerless, so then he'll be an ani v'chazilei, he could use it. The halacha is that aniyim allowed to eat the nai. So hashanam lamchem kuinabas. So it's enough to be concerted lochem. Because the Tanan, as the Mishnah teaches us, mechilan says aniyim demai v'sachsanya demai. Achsanya is an army that goes from place to place, and they were obligated to take care of the soldiers. And therefore, since a lot of serve them demai, that's why you see that demai has a value. Machloikus Rishonim, when it says here, Achsanya demai, which Achsanya? Does it mean Jewish soldiers or specifically non-Jewish soldiers? However, Beshamay Ani Lo Yachal demai, Beshamay on the other hand holds that Ani may not eat demai. The Tanan, Mechilan Asanim demai v'sachsanya demai, V'am Rav Huna Tana, Beshamay Amrim, Ein Mechilan Asanim v'sachsanya demai, why is it so important to teach us the opinion of Beis Shammai? So I saw that the Rishonim explained that if we'll see an opinion somewhere that says that we can't serve Aniyim or Chsanya Demai, we should know that that is the opinion of Beis Shammai, which is an opinion which we don't follow La Locha. Shammai Sesheni B'Rishalayim, L'chatchila should not be used. L'man Domineshe Mechshira, according to Mandam that we learned a few moments ago, that we're concerned that we're putting it, the esrog next to the lulav, you machshir it, and therefore it can become tamei. Here too, you're not allowed to make ma'is sheni tamei, machshira. The Mandam of Neshim Afsida, so here too, by putting the esrog next to the lulav, you make it non-edible. Vimnotal, if you took a kshera. The Mandam of Neshim Afsida, The Rehakol. According to Ram Dama, the esrog has to be eaten. This esrog is kosher because it's edible. And even according to Rameya that holds that the Maisa Sheni's mum Gavoya, we're still allowed to eat it. Laman Dama Lefishayim by the mum, you have to be able to own it. Hamani, it's Rabbonin. But according to Rameya, since Maisa Sheni is mum Gavoya, so not yours. And you can't be Yaitzu Maisa Sheni because it's not Lochem.